Petrano picks up the puck for the Rangers. Petrano through center for the Pittsburgh line. Petrano lost control of the puck. Now comes to Hedl, who shoots and scores! Philip Hedl! Rangers control the faceoff. Snyder with the puck with 3 seconds. You can hear the fans.
We're going to Pittsburgh.
Rangers win it 5-3.
Welcome back to The Drive Show on TSN 690. I'm Mitch Gallo, filling in for Mitch Melnick with John Still. Last night, the Rangers beat the Penguins 5-3, and a lot happened in that hockey game. A lot happened in all three games last night, and more hockey tonight, and the World Hockey Championship right around the corner. And we go all the way to Helsinki right now and welcome in former NHLer, former Montreal Canadian, and now with TSN, Mike Johnson. Hello, Mike.
Good evening, fellas. Approaching midnight here and over at Helsinki, and the question is, do I stay up and watch some of these elimination games potentially tonight, or do I go to bed and watch in the morning? That's the dilemma I'm facing right now.
Well, what's your morning look like?
Well, yeah, I have nothing to do until the game is at like 4 in the afternoon, so I can stay up late if I want and sleep in, but I don't know. I haven't quite mastered the jet lag recovery. I don't know if you're supposed to stay up or you're supposed to nap. I don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, so I think I'll probably stay up and watch a little bit and then not watch the whole game.
Well,
what's
the sunlight situation in Finland? Because I know that at times there's like a crazy flux of how much sunlight you get depending on what season of the year it is. So I think that really it's up to Finland whether you stay up late or you go to bed now and watch in the morning.
Well, we're not quite at the summer solstice where it's light almost 24 hours a day, but it was light until about 10 o'clock tonight, 10:30. So it's a few hours later than Ontario and Quebec.
Well, you know what? Based on the hockey we've seen lately, I don't know if I would be able to go to bed right away knowing there was games going on. And, Mike, let's start with the New York Rangers versus Pittsburgh Penguins game from last night. And clearly, the big turning point was the Jacob Trouba hit on Sidney Crosby. The Penguins just fell apart after that moment. I was really impressed, by the way, with the young players from the Rangers, including Kako and Lafreniere and Hedl. But for starters, the hit by Trouba on Crosby, did you think that was a clean hit, or should the NHL take a closer look at hits like that one?
Well, they've decided they're not going to take a look at that one, but I think that they probably should have. And you can be like worthy of supplementary discipline without the intent of going in and taking his head off. Like, I don't think Trouba was stepping in there, I'm going to hit Crosby in the head, I'm going to elbow him up high. I think that his stick kind of got caught up in Crosby's body. I think Crosby was sliding to his side, and he instinctively kind of lunged out there. But when I see contact to Crosby's head with the chicken wing forearm elbow out away from the body, even if it wasn't the intent when you went to make the hit, even if some things have moved around there, you still are responsible for your body and where people get hit and how. And I think that one was close to a gray area, but I would have liked to see that, you know, anytime you get pieces away from your body, you're lunging out and outside your frame and you get a guy and you get him in the head and he's hurt. That's the kind of stuff that we would like to not have happen. So you got to be more responsible, more in control, and the onus is on the hitter to make sure that doesn't happen and not necessarily hit tee. So, I don't think it was egregiously dirty or anything, but I think it was a hit gone wrong that probably could have warranted a fine, something to let them know that, you know, that's not something that that is acceptable.
Mike, we've seen it in, I think, really two instances so far in the playoffs, this situation and then Oshie on Bennett in the Florida-Washington game. Just where do you come down in terms of hits to the head or headshots? Do you think that the NHL has it right the way they're doing it? Do you want to see more of a severe punishment? Maybe not necessarily suspensions or fines, but in terms of the call on the ice, where are you at with headshots?
Well, for just in defense of Oshie, like, I think he hit Sam Bennett, and Sam Bennett hit himself with his own stick. You know, Oshie hit the stick, and Bennett's own stick hit himself. So it wasn't Oshie that cut him up high. It was his own stick. So I give Oshie a bit of a pass on that one. But I'm over here in Finland, right? World champs are about to start, and the rules are any headshot is basically 5 in the game. You don't get suspended for it. You recognize that sometimes they are good hits gone wrong. Sometimes they are well-intentioned, and a guy, you know, turned over and cut into you, whatever. But it is a standard that no one really complains about. People don't like when they get a penalty, and they feel it's been it's unfortunate, but they don't fight it because they know that's just the standard. I think we should be heading to that at some point. I don't know if it's 5 in a game. Maybe it's a 4-minute minor, or maybe it's a 2 and a 10. You know, something more than just a 2, or not nothing at all for any contact with the head, incidental or otherwise. Because you know, it's the one part of the body we have to do everything we can to protect.
Mike, what really sucks about that play is the fact that Sidney Crosby was playing so well.
Amazing.
You know, maybe reversing time by 5 years. And we know the concussion history there with him, so it's scary when we know how hard it was for him to come back all those years ago when he was suffering from the post-concussion stuff. Now without Crosby, how much trouble are the Penguins in, even though they still lead the series 3-2?
Well, given what happened last game, it feels like a lot because they were in total control. They're going to wrap it up. They're up 2-0 on the road. Crowds out of it. Teams out of it. Sid's playing as well as we've seen in years. He's absolutely dominating the series. Gensel's got 7 goals. Like, everything was going perfectly. He goes down, and the game flips on its head, like, right away. It's not the same at all. Obviously, they miss what he does on the ice, but more than that, you know, the way probably he leads in tight moments, the way the other players on the team look to him to know that it's going to be okay. And Malkin's still a good player, a point-of-game player this year, but he's not the kind of guy who plays with the sort of pace that he used to. And so he's not Sidney Crosby. He plays a different kind of game. He can't just step in there and do the same things that Sid was doing. So, I mean, I guess Jari is imminently going to return, perhaps. He's listed as day-to-day. He's been out there doing full practice. So that will give them, I think, a little bit of an edge because he'll be back. And they have a lot of good players. They only need one, and they're going back home. But, with you know, Sid is a pretty deciding factor in that series, and it would be brutal for an injury like this to change the series, and maybe as importantly, impact Sidney Crosby's health going forward. So, injuries are part of it, but for him specifically, as well as he's playing, that's tough for the Penguins as well, because they should be through the series and on to the next round.
Yeah, no doubt. And on top of that, Mike, I mean, switching over to a series where a suspension is absolutely going to have a big impact, it's potentially elimination day for the Edmonton Oilers tonight against the LA Kings. No Darnell Nurse after the headbutt to Philip Deneau. I think everyone would recognize that that's
ridiculous, wasn't it?
The yeah, headbutt? I just...
Like, it's just so dumb.
It's
like,
just...
It's not even plausibly tricky, not hidden in a scrum. It's like, I'm just going to drive the top of my head up into your chin. It was ridiculous. And it's not like it's February where you're frustrated and you're like, well, whatever, if I get suspended, it's not great, but it only cost me. It doesn't really hurt the team quite as much. You're facing elimination. And you're going to take yourself out of an elimination game when you are as important to the Oilers as Darnell Nurse is. That was it's sort of ridiculous, really, that he would do that.
Yeah, it was like I thought what he was going to do is like what those soccer players do, is the coming together and just forehead to forehead, right, and then they just back away. But yeah, he went, I don't know what, he went full Zidane on that one. I don't know what was going on. But in terms of Jay Woodcroft today, he reunites Draisaitl and McDavid. They're playing together alongside Yamamoto. Is that a recipe to win this elimination game tonight for the Oilers?
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is that Jay Woodcroft had a lot of success with the Oilers, right, since he took over, turned them into a more balanced, more well-rounded team, and he almost never played those guys together for full games. You know, they'd play him at the end of periods, they'd play him after penalty kills, whatever, but never kind of the whole game, because he recognized having the two of them drive lines individually gave them a better chance to win. So Draisaitl's not having a great series right now. He's having a hard time at 5-on-5. Connor McDavid is not. Connor McDavid has been incredible. So I guess he's saying, listen, we're going to put Draisaitl and McDavid, let them run with it, and then hopefully they win the game. Everyone else plays to a wash, which is what they've done in years past, not always successful. It feels like desperate / urgent. You know, like it's not plan A or B, but they're trying whatever they can because they find themselves in a pretty tough spot right now. So we'll see. It opens them up to some commentary if it does not work, but I guess it shows just how much of a struggle it's been for Draisaitl that he's kind of getting paired up with McDavid to get his game going.
people in Toronto on pins and needles right now getting ready for Game 6, trying to finally, Mike, close out a playoff series for the first time since 2004 with the Tampa Bay Lightning on the ropes. Just a couple nights ago, you told us that you believed whoever won Game 5 of the series would, in fact, win the series. After Toronto won Game 5, do you still feel that way today?
I do, but I got to tell you, if you would have asked me that question after the first period of Game 5, I would like, oh my God, this is so awful for Toronto. But yeah, I do. I mean, I guess it's going to be hard for Tampa to win two games in a row. It's going to be hard for Tampa to win on the road, even with all the pressure, however much there might be on Toronto if it does get to a Game 7. And Toronto, quite frankly, it's been a weird series because the team that's won has generally been quite a bit better than the team that's lost. And in last game, I guess Tampa was better for 20 minutes, and then Toronto was kind of better for the last 40. But Toronto, it feels like if there's going to be a fairy tale ending for this Toronto group, the team, the coach, the GM, Shanny, the president, the first chapter might be Game 5, because that was the game where previous iterations of this Leaf team would not have found a way to win that game. And not only did they come back and win, but like how they did it and the people that led them to that win is significant. It was Jack Campbell. It was Morgan Riley. And Tavares played well. And Nylander had two. And Matthews and Marner hooked up for the winner. Those are the guys. Like, those are the core pieces that have been here the entire time these last 5 years without getting, well, not quite Jack, but, you know, the entire time not getting it done. And they got it done in the most pressure-packed situation against the two-time defending champs who are trying to become an almost dynasty. If it works out, and it's still a big if, because Toronto's just set themselves up for a glorious storybook ending to the series or another heartbreaking disaster if they can't get it done with two games left. But I do think the fact that those guys played so well, is important. Now, Austin Matthews, fresh off the Hart Trophy nomination, has not done well in Tampa. He's been dominated by that point Cirelli line. So we'll see if he can shake loose tonight, because if he can, Toronto has a great chance. If he can't, then they're probably going back to Game 7.
Yeah, just on that note, and it's Cirelli specifically, who's just so good defensively, Mike. And I feel like at times in Tampa, Sheldon Keefe has really tried to get Matthews away or try to get away from certain matchups. And you've been there, right, playing in playoff games. How much can that disrupt the flow for a bench when a coach is so worried about getting specific players away from specific matchups?
It does, for sure. But I guess with Toronto, Matthews and Marner play 23 minutes anyway, so they're always kind of going out of sequence regardless. They're not kind of going every fourth rung. But yeah, the challenge is when you start pulling Tavares off or you start pulling Nylander off the ice, the good players like, hang on, like I want to just play. And even Matthews and Marner, like they don't want to be out there looking at the bench on a neutral zone faceoff, seeing that it's Cirelli and Point, and they're getting the wink saying, okay, dump it in and change. They're like, no, we can do this. We're good enough to handle this matchup. It does. It's a fine line. You want to be proactive on the bench. You want to do what you can to give your team the best matchups, but you don't want to do it at the expense of guys' belief in each other and kind of rhythm within the game. So trying to find that balance will be important, which means, you know, faceoffs are important because they're a big part of controlling pace of play and line changes off one draws. And if you can get the depth lines to get offensive zone faceoffs or icings, because that means then you can kind of manipulate on the road the matchup you want. So that's what they'll be looking to do. But yeah, you're right. It is a challenge, but in the playoffs, not as much. The regular season, it's something that really does irritate the players, but playoffs, everyone's kind of just down with whatever the coach is trying to do.
Mike, we're looking forward to watching you on TV tomorrow with Team Canada. We know Josh Anderson, one of the alternate captains. We'll be paying attention to him and you and Gord. So thanks for joining us this afternoon, and we'll chat on Tuesday.
All right, guys. I'll be up the middle of the night watching tonight, so you talk me into it. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun night of hockey.
That's going to be too much fun. You got to stay up, Mike. There's Mike Johnson, former NHLer, and now working with TSN here on The Drive Show. I'm Mitch Gallo with John Still. Coming up next, we chat with three-time Cup champ Aaron Ward, who I know is really hoping Toronto blows it.